Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Football Show. We have a live PPR mock draft drafting from the 12th spot. Who can we get on that turn? I'm your host, Sky Guasco, in the big seat. Let's get it going right now on the Razzball Fantasy Football Show. What up, everybody? Great to be back. Happy Monday, Mock Draft Monday, of course. Had a wonderful weekend. I took a trip out to Denver, caught a little baseball, caught a little music. We got Bob here in the co-host seat, which is always strange as he generally hosts the show, but he brings me in for the super intense mock drafts. He doesn't want to handle the pressure. Totally happy to take that off of him. So yeah. Instead, I'm going to put him on the spot here off the bat. We were talking about some Vegas odds. Pre-show, Bob was making some pre-show predictions. I love to hear that, so let's get it going. Bob of the Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot right off the bat. Who do you have right now, middle, late June, who do you have as the number one seed in the AFC and the number one seed in the NFC? Call your shot for now.
I'm actually going to roll with the Eagles-Bengals for next season as my two teams that I like to go into the playoffs and potentially make it to the Super Bowl.
I love that. I would have loved to hear maybe like a West Coast team, not the Raiders, not the Rams, 49ers. The Chargers, not the Seahawks, not the Broncos.
If you told me Sam Darnold was starting 17 games, I would say that they'd be the Super Bowl champions, well, but they're not.
But if Sammy D starts 17 games, everyone's going to pick the Niners. They're not really a dark horse at that point. You know what I mean?
That's like true. Facts.
Yeah, you don't want to just jump on the bandwagon at that point. But
I know. You're right.
I hear you. All right, folks, it's great to be back. Of course, we got another mock draft for you. If you're just joining the mock draft series, we have already done one from the 4 slot. We've done one from the 8 slot. We've got today's from the 12 slot. So if you're in that general turn in the first round and you're in a work league or a home league, you already know your draft order, or you will know your draft order as the summer goes on in July and August, come back to these episodes and we're going to help you kind of run through the turn. Bob, before we get into the draft, I'm curious the mindset. We've talked about kind of that top 4 slot. You know you're going to get a stud of a stud, right? You just kind of got to take the shot there. The middle picks, you're still picking the cream of the crop. On the turn, again, in the 12 slot specifically, you're picking two in a row, literally two picks back to back, but you're not picking again for another 23, 24 picks. So what is your general strategy in a full PPR league? Do you target a position? Are you targeting players? Are you hoping a position falls to you? What exactly are you doing on a turn specifically?
Well, first off, what's up, Jamie? Always a pleasure, man. Back on the show once again. That beautiful clean kitchen pie, a cherry pie, baby. I love it. You know what? You should start putting props back there.
You know what? Jamie, you know what? I have to say, I will call myself out. You did recommend and request a pie last time. I blew it off. No excuses. I'm not here to make excuses, Jamie. That's my bad. I dropped the ball there. I will do something revolving a pie for the next episode. Stay tuned.
Gotta love it. Anyway, so when you get to the end of the 1-2 turn, I think you have your flag plants. Not just people who are in the industry, but everybody who does fantasy football just has a guy they love. And they're higher on than the industry, higher than ADP. You're typically going to target those guys at the end of the first, second round. That's the first, that 1-2 turn pick, you usually get the guy. This year, it's probably Derrick Henry for me, if I can get him there. Cooper Kupp, if he falls. Those are the kind of guys I'll be targeting. Position, I have moved away from RB only early on in drafts. I think over the last year or two, I've kind of realized that, I don't know, there's just more people started getting too savvy, and now there's too many wide receivers. Travis Kelce's now a first-round pick, that the running backs are getting kind of pushed down. And now third- and fourth-round running backs are starting to be a little bit better in value. So I'm okay waiting maybe for my first running back at that 3-4 turn potentially. You could probably get a guy much later in drafts. You know, the guys that we talked about the last few weeks, Cam Akers, James Conner fall much later. You also have Damian Pierce, who I just did analysis on. And man, I can't wait to tell you the stats on Damian Pierce. You're going to laugh your ass off. Stupid. Kenneth Walker, those kind of guys. So I think I'm open to two wide receivers. But if Derrick Henry's there, I'm not passing. I'll tell you that right now.
I love it. It's something I like to do in mock drafts. I don't know if I have the stones to pull it off on a game day draft, but something I like to do in a mock draft, if I'm on the turn, I can literally go running back, wide receiver, picks 1 and 2, 3 and 4. I maybe like say Mark Andrews falls or something like that. I'm going to pick a tight end. Say Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts is still there in the fourth round. Pick him as well. I know the unwritten rule in fantasy is you don't go early tight end and early quarterback. But again, if you're picking the cream, if you went Cooper Kupp, Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, and Jalen Hurts, for example, four picks in a row, everybody would want that actual roster. Then you have two positions dealt with, and you can go running back and wide receiver after that because you're going back to back. So kind of a crazy strategy. We'll see what happens today. Once again, we are using the Draft Wizard from Fantasy Pros, not a sponsor, but a tool that we are using. I've been using the free version to show everybody what it might look like if you don't subscribe to it. We are subscribed. So I do have kind of the intricate tools here. I want to show you how it works, and we will get into it. We are again Oh, good.
Before you start diving into this, here's a mock draft tip for everybody. Don't always draft the players you want. You want to see how far your players will fall. The point of the mock draft really should be is to see, okay, can I pass on Miles Sanders in round 4 and 5? Will he fall to my next pick? Like, that's the point of the mock. So don't always go in trying to show like, oh man, look at this great team I got. The point is like, identify the players you do want, don't draft them, and then see if they fall around to the next pick. Because then when you go into your drafts, you have a better understanding. Do I really need to pull the trigger on this player in round 4? Will he go to round 5? Well, 75% of the mocks, he did fall around 5. So you wait, you play those odds, and now you can maximize your roster even more. So that's just another like tidbit for mock drafts.
I totally agree. I like that a lot too. And Bob, when you're talking about, obviously, like you just said, you like Cooper Kupp, you like Derrick Henry, fine. If they're available coming up here, we're going to pick them because we want to. Another strategy, because it is a mock draft. Don't pick them intentionally, like you said, and see how far they fall and see what your team might look like in case you have to pick the panic button on draft day so you're not panicking during that time. You know what your alternate options are. We're running PPR. We're running snake, 12-team league. We're running from the 12th position, as I mentioned. Same roster, quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, and a flex position. Not super flex. For sake of time, we're eliminating bench, kicker, and DST. We'll get into those as the summer progresses here. We are going to get going here. No pitch clock so we can get into it. And Bob, per usual, let me run it down here on the first couple of picks. For the podcasters, let's make sure we spot this out for everybody here. Looks pretty good. I think we know where our first pick is going to go, but let me recap the first round. Christian McCaffrey, again, full PPR league. No surprise here. CMC goes number 1. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Austin Eckler go 2, 3, and 4. We've done 3 mocks now, Bob. I'm pretty sure this is exactly the top 4 we've seen each time. So something to monitor there as well. Your boy Saquon Barkley at the 5 spot. Tony Pollard, number 6. I think there's a lot of mixed emotions there with Tony Pollard that high. Bijan Robinson, rookie, of course, in Atlanta, number 7. Travis Kelce goes 8. Tyreek Hill, 9. Cooper Kupp goes 10 off the board there. And Jonathan Taylor, number 11. So let me go through those picks. First, obviously, you wanted Cooper Kupp to fall. Anybody else there realistically you were thinking or you thought might fall that you would have gone other than Cooper Kupp?
No, be honest with you.
Deal. All right, let's go through the order here. We're not going to go quarterback. We're not going to go tight end yet because Travis Kelce is the only top tight end there in the first round. Second round, we picked him last draft, actually. So if you're in the Travis Kelce camp, go check that out. Let's check out our running backs, though, here. The top recommended running backs, Josh Jacobs, Ramondre Stevenson, Derrick Henry, Breece Hall, Joe Mixon, top candidates. Wide receiver side, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson. So again, we have 2 picks here back-to-back, Bob. Now, it doesn't matter who we pick where because literally it's back-to-back picks. Is there an automatic here? I believe we already know who that one is. But if we go that direction, what else are you going to do here? You want to go double up on running back or do you want to split the positions?
Yeah, I do. There's 3 players for me, and they're kind of obvious. I love Diggs, and I think Diggs would probably be my pick here. I have him up there. I think he's at my 8th or 9th in my top 150. You look at Buffalo. They just haven't. I know the Dalton Kincaid is the first round pick, but we've talked about this at nauseam. It takes a while for rookie tight ends to really emerge. What else have the Bills done to really improve the weapons for competition? listen, Josh Allen last year, by the way, and I think a lot of people, including myself, forgot we talked about this in the last show. Him and Justin Herbert got hurt with serious injuries last year that prevented them. They didn't miss time, but they really affected their play. So Josh Allen took a slight step back half of the season, and I think Diggs, in my opinion, was one of the people that got hurt because of that. And I think Diggs is going to bounce back to where he was just 2 years ago, especially because the target competition hasn't changed. So it's like, if anything, you know, Khalil Shakir moving to the slot, another unproven third receiver. You know, I'm in on that. Derrick Henry, I almost want to pass on him because I want to practice not getting him, because this is going to make me feel like I can get Derrick Henry all the time. But here's just what I want to talk about. So implied Vegas total was 7.5 wins. That's exactly what they had last year. Okay, Vegas is saying they have 7.5 wins. They went 7-10 last year, had a down year, and he still was the RB freaking four in fantasy points at 19.1 PPR points per game. That's not normal. Like, people got to understand, it's not just RB 4-5, 19 points to like 17 to 16.5. That's what RB 5 is. He's just that much better. And then Vegas is telling you they're probably going to be around the same they were last year, maybe even a little better. The dude's awesome in wins, by the way. His averages in wins versus losses is insane. But overall, I just think that we have to understand that Derrick Henry has got maybe two more really good years left. And for some reason, we think that he's not going to be able to repeat last year when the Titans sucked last year.
If you don't go Derrick Henry, which other running back here would be your top pick in the first or second round?
Ramondre Stevenson's my guy this year. He's my flag plant. I know people have talked about this. Go check out the RB show we just did over on Friday. I talk about Ramondre Stevenson a lot. The differences between Damian Harris versus without Damian Harris last year. I know Pierre Strong and Ty Montgomery might get passing game work. I do not care. Ramondre Stevenson, listen, he got 16 carries in the games without Harris. He got 10.5 with Harris last year in that range. Carries are not valued touches, but on average, overall, you get about 0.5 points for every carry you get in the NFL for fantasy points. So just getting 6 more a game, that's almost 3 more points a game just from those carries. So I'm in on Stevenson. So it would go Henry, Diggs, Stevenson for me.
All right. Well, we got two picks back to back. Go ahead and make the executives. We'll go Henry first. Now, if you're going to Henry and Diggs, let me just bring up one more thing, because I'm in a keeper league. It matters when you do this sometimes. If you're in a keeper league, Bob, and you're looking at next season where you keep a guy in the same round or something like that, if you had Henry and Diggs, which player are you picking first or second based on next year's potential to keep them? Do you ever keep that in mind when you're drafting in a keeper league?
Yeah, of course. It makes a ton of sense. Yeah, obviously, I mean, keeper league, probably year over year, you're probably going to want Henry for the short term for the next year or two. But if you're thinking this is a fresh start and I got to think for the next 10 years, you're going to take Diggs in round two. It makes more sense there. But I am in a keeper league where it doesn't really matter that much, but I hear what you're saying. The only player I do want to talk about is Josh Jacobs, because Jacobs was awesome last year. He was one of the elite running backs in fantasy football. But here's something I found out recently about Jacobs that I want to bring up is that, listen, Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro last year missed a ton of games. So essentially, they were trotting Derek Carr out there with Mac Collins and Davante Adams, Foster Moreau, and they leaned on Josh Jacobs. But there was six games where Hunter Renfro, and Darren Waller both played. Now, remember, they've drafted Michael Mayer. I'm thinking Michael Myers, like, oh, you know, horror. This podcast is a horror story anyway. And then they also brought in Jacoby Myers, and they still have Hunter Renfro. But I saw the split. So the thing is, his carries went down by 5 from 21.8 to 16.7 in the games where he played with both Hunter Renfro and Darren Waller. His fantasy points, I don't even want to tell you because it doesn't make sense. But let's just say it was 2 touchdowns worth of production. But overall, the thing that really stood out to me was the drop in carries, but also the targets. It dropped from 4.5 to 2.3. So when there was more weapons on the field, they leaned a little bit more towards the pass, but not towards Josh Jacobs. So I do think that he's still in my projection. I still have him at like 16.5 PPR points per game, which is still solid round two. But it's just something to think about, you know, when there's more competition for targets this year.
I've been a Josh Jacobs hater from day one. Obviously, last year I got burned because he blew up whatever, but I'm going to go back on the train and just assume that he gets faded. First of all, he didn't miss a game last year. That's massive for him. His carries were up like 70 from a career high. which is great. Josh McDaniels likes to do that, but we were all anticipating multiple running backs from the New England scheme coming to Vegas. Their running backs outside of Josh Jacobs in Vegas were terrible, so they couldn't run multiple running backs. He ended up being the pass catcher and the goal line guy and in between the 20s. 1,600 yards, obviously 500 more than his career high. Solid 5 yards per carry, which is great. Stuck over 50 receptions. If he gets that again, that's awesome. But career highs across the board, I do his trend there, 19, 9, 13, 3. Let's just hope it does bounce back for me in the, you know, first round, early second round. I'm not gonna roll with that. So I'll go with you here on Stephon Diggs. Jamie did throw in the CeeDee Lamb. Is there anything you want to mention about CeeDee Lamb and the potential potency of that offense there?
Well, you got to. I think it's a subtle change, but I think Mike McCarthy is now going to be the play caller, and I think that moves away from Kellen Moore style. And now you have Brandon Cooks and a more healthy Michael Gallup, so the target competition will be much stronger. I know Dalton Schultz is now gone, but at the same time, last year we saw a sample size when they didn't have Dalton Schultz, and believe it or not, Hendershot and for some reason Camp Ferguson. They actually both played decently well and got a bunch of targets because Dak loves targeting in the middle of the field. That's where CeeDee Lamb's going to do a lot of his damage. The only thing I'm hesitant about is, number one, when you think Brian Schottenheimer, who's the new OC, you don't think pass-heavy offense. You think, like, let's run the football, like back in Seattle with the Jets with Rex Ryan. Like, that's Brian Schottenheimer. His dad invented Marty Ball, which is like, let's run the ball 40 times a game with, like, Parise Holmes and Larry Johnson back in the day. But I think – so that worries me a little bit. You could see maybe a slight turn towards him, maybe a little bit more running, but they just got rid of Zeke. So can they do that? I don't know. But I think Lamb is solid. I love Lamb. I love that he is going to play – he's going to be a slot receiver. That's basically what he's going to be, probably the best in the NFL. And the one thing I will say with Schottenheimer, Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett were with the Seahawks, and they both played very well as the primary slot weapon for those offenses. So I'm good with him, but I'm just not going to take him over Diggs.
They did, but they're not number one wide receiver good. So I'm with you there. Jamie, not a bad pick maybe if we're in like the middle of the second round or maybe Diggs is off the board. I think, you know, Lamb maybe becomes that next guy we would target. But in that particular case, we wouldn't. Bob, I'm going to blast through these two rounds. We got a lot of names, obviously, because we're on the turn. We don't need to talk about everybody clearly, but just pick one name in each round that you would have liked to see maybe fall or somebody we haven't talked about yet. After our Henry and Diggs, Kenneth Walker, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb did go after A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jacobs, Chubb, Ramondre Stevenson, ETN, Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, Mark Andrews, on the turn, Breece Hall, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, T.J. Hockenson. So our three top tight ends are off the board in the first three rounds. Aaron Jones, Najee Harris, kind of clearing out that top tier running back, T. Higgins, Keenan Allen, Chris Olave, D.K. Metcalf, and Javonte Williams right before our two picks here. Pick a name or two here we haven't discussed yet.
Well, I got to tell you, Walker, what is going on with Walker? I feel like when we did this 2 weeks ago, he was in round five.
Fourth round,
Now he's going second. I mean, that's insane. That's an interesting one. Stevenson behind Nick Chubb and Josh Jacobs and Kenneth Walker, I would eat that value up all day. But the guy I want to talk about is Mark Andrews, because I think getting lost in all the shuffle with everything right now is that Mark Andrews is probably going to be closer to Travis Kelce than he is going to be T.J. Hockenson this year. And the reason why is simple, more pass volume. I mean, everybody loves the idea of more pass volume, but we're forgetting the fact that the one guy who has the best connection with Lamar Jackson is Mark Andrews. We also forget that it was just 2 years ago, by the way, not 10 years ago. 2 years ago, Mark Andrews was the number one fantasy tight end. He was also the number one fantasy tight end in points per game. The 17.5 PPR points per game would have been better than Travis Kelce in two of the last five seasons. So it's not like a fluke that he just did that. I know Kelce's another level. I'm not saying he's not. But the 17.5 PPR points per game he just did 2 years ago, that will separate him just as much as, you know, that justifies a second-round pick on Mark Andrews this year. And I think Zay Flowers is a rookie. Odell Beckham's been in and out of barely played the last two or three years. And now Rashad Bateman's dealing with a foot injury. I think Mark Andrews is probably the one player that in the back of my mind that I'm rising the most on. And I haven't even gotten to my tight end research yet, but I'm excited.
I like it. Quick question. Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown both going in the top three rounds. You feel good about that in the Philly offense?
No. I talked about Devonta Smith a while ago and the fact that I have him like in the round, fourth round at receiver, mostly because his numbers dip slightly when you look at him. He's like a top 20 receiver for me, of course, but that's more around, end of round three, early round four, because his numbers do dip a little bit when Dallas Goedert was healthy. Because it's a lot to ask when you have Jalen Hurts running, they run the football a lot, then you have Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, and also Devonta Smith. It's not a huge difference. It's not like like 3 or 4 points, but it's enough to make him more of like a mid-range to low-end wide receiver too than where he's being drafted.
I do agree. He's went as the 12th wide receiver off the board here in this mock draft. Okay, let's get into our third and our fourth picks, Bob. Again, I had mentioned the last couple of weeks, we have been using the free version, which you don't see this particular tool over here. I want to explain this just for a second because it really helps me on draft day. This is basically a predictor per position or however you want to run it down. What this tells us is algorithmically, this is what the computer is predicting will happen. So this says Joe Mixon, Jahmyr Gibbs, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, whatever. The percentage over here is what percentage it is that they will be taken before our next pick if we don't pick them right now. So somebody like, I'll just scroll way down here, somebody like Brandon Ayuk, whatever, obviously is not likely to go in the next two picks. More likely in the green there with these guys in the red. If we don't pick them right now, Bob, they're most likely not coming back to us. Just something to consider, and I like to use that tool because sometimes it puts guys on the radar I may not think about. You had mentioned Damian Pierce. Do we want Damian Pierce in the fourth round, or do we want, you know, just want to wing it and hope he comes back kind of a thing? So just something I wanted to mention as people are seeing that off to the side here. But let's get into it. We have a couple more picks. Our draft board, again, is just Derrick Henry and Stephon Diggs. We can see over on the side here, our overall mix is Joe Mixon, Jahmyr Gibbs, J.K. Dobbins. And on the wide receiver side, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin. There's your boy Calvin Ridley. We've talked about him three drafts in a row. Haven't been able to catch him yet. Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin as well. On the tight end side, we're down to the George Kittle level. We've talked about that in previous episodes. We're going to wait that out. And every quarterback is available. Wow. Bob, I'll let you take it from here. I am not a Patrick Mahomes. I'm not exaggerating. I've been in, I don't know, let me guess, 50 leagues probably since Patrick Mahomes entered the NFL. I cannot think of one single fantasy league that I had Patrick Mahomes on my team. I'm not exaggerating because I didn't get him the first year when he was a sleeper, right? Nobody really knew what was coming. And then I definitely didn't get him after that because I'm not taking a quarterback in the second round. Certainly not in super flex leagues when he's a, you know, top two pick. So that's kind of attractive. I also like Josh Allen because we have Stephon Diggs. So the stack there is nice as well, but look at all these running backs that we can capitalize on also. So let me let you take the wheel here for a little bit.
Well, the first thing we always like to talk about is we don't want to lead the run. I don't really care that much. Like in my mind, this tells me this entire draft, everybody's thinking the same thing. If this was my friends, I would say no, everyone's fading. A bunch of quarterbacks might go in the next two rounds. That's fine. But that just means that like Justin Fields, potentially Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, who's your guy, who will definitely be there in two rounds. So I'm okay. If this is where I'm sitting right now, I'm like, okay, you know what? The question is, number one, do you have a running back or a wide receiver that's a tier above than the rest of the guys? Is there a guy you got to have in this round? And I think obviously, you know, my answer here is Joe Mixon. He's not even close. But I do want to talk about Damian Pierce because another underrated aspect that this is going to be fun. All right. So I told you pre-show, I did this analysis on players win fantasy points and wins and fantasy points and losses and started applying it to the Vegas win totals. Okay. So last year, 13 games with Damian Pierce, they went 1-11-1. Okay, so take this with a grain of salt because they had one win, all right? But their Vegas win total is 6.5. CJ Stroud, a lot of buzz going on, right? So let's say they do get to that 6.5 range. Okay, Damian Pierce in wins last year, all right, was well up towards 20.3 was how many points he scored in the wins. And then he was down at 13.2 in losses. So 13.2 points per game in losses and 20 points in that win. Okay. Now, if you just apply, remember, they went 1-11-1 in the 13 games where, and I excluded the tie. I gave it to nobody. If you just apply 6.5 wins, his fantasy points jump to 15.9. Okay, that's pretty good. So 15.9 in my rankings right now gets him to about the RB15. Real solid. That's a good value right here. Now you have to factor a little bit that rookie quarterback. There is some caps to upside there. I totally get that. But when we talked about this a few weeks ago, top 12 and top 24 finishes for running backs with rookies, not a lot of change. They're actually pretty comparable to veteran counterparts. So I'm back on the David Pierce trade. Plus, you got a little of that 49ers run scheme being there too. They actually done a lot of good stuff with the offensive line. Robert Woods, a very good blocker for a wide receiver. I know Robert Woods blocking, exciting. But I would say that Mixon's the obvious here. I like Pierce. And then the wide receivers, Amari Cooper, we haven't gotten him in any drafts, but I just want to buy. I hate to say it, but I want to buy into the Cleveland pass game this year. I like Cooper a lot. I think it's going to be big time.
Couple things here. First off, with Dameon Pierce, I know it's probably hard to believe at this point because he was the hot topic last summer. We did our draft recap last year, Bob, and we were talking about the top dogs, obviously, and then scaling down. We got to Dameon Pierce out of Florida, landing in Houston, and the landing spot was terrible because Houston's terrible. But I kept saying this time last year, or I would say maybe even April, May of last year, when we were doing those recap episodes, I really liked Dameon Pierce coming in. I thought he was going to outkick his ADP, as they say. About 2 weeks after that, it became the industry fave to like grab this guy in the 8th, 9th round. He shot up, you know, draft boards by the time it was draft season to about the 5th round, paid it back handsomely for what we were looking for, along with Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders a bit. But nonetheless, I was in on him last year in a terrible situation. He still progressed quite well. Any concern seems silly, but any concern with Devin Singletary coming in or all these auxiliary running backs that they happen to have in Houston?
Wait a second. Did Alexander Mattison go yet? Has it caught up yet?
No, we do this every time, huh?
He's all the way down there. Yeah, that's another guy we can't forget either. Him and Cam Akers too. But am I worried? You know what? We're going to find out in mini camps. Like, Devin Singletary is your status quo veteran guy. Like, he's going to block. He's going to do his job. That's why he was on the field over James Cook last year for most of the year.
Being on third downs.
Exactly. But Pierce had Rex Burkhead for that last year. We kind of saw that same mold. I just think that it can't get worse. Honestly, they went 1-11-1 with him in the game. Like, it can't get worse. He was obviously early down guy for the most part, but I'm just buying. I'm not overly concerned because we already saw a great baseline last year, and I think the offense is going to be better this year.
I dig it. All right, Alexander Mattison, just a quick note here, and this is how I use the tool. We can just test this for science right now. First of all, I get a little flame right here. It tells me that the ECR for Allen expert consensus ranking for him has risen 4 spots in the last week. Good to know, right? Obviously, it's because Dalvin Cook hype is getting more and more, and he'll probably be leaving sometime soon. Once he is, I mean, Alexander Mattison's probably a 3rd round, maybe a 2nd rounder. But right here, it tells me 29% that he'll come back. So, Bob, question to you right away. Do you want to pick him in one of these 2 picks to make sure we get him? Or for science, do you want to see if this less than 30% chance that he's picked is accurate and maybe he comes back to us again? I know that you like Dameon Pierce. Obviously, we're going to pick Joe Mixon. And you had mentioned Amari Cooper. So the question is, do you want to go Amari Cooper and Joe Mixon? Or do you want to lock up our running backs and then our flex position with Alexander Mattison and Joe Mixon?
If we're going to use what we've learned over the last few weeks, honestly, we hate the running wide receivers going in round 8. Like, every time we get to that, we're like, ah, crap, Brandon Cooks, Kadarius Toney, and maybe the Wizard will give us more options this time. But I kind of feel like I'd rather target some Jerry Jeudy, DJ Moore, and Amari Cooper are I would say Jerry Jeudy this year. Just something tells me with Sean Payton, they're going to adjust. Russ has been so good with slot receivers, and then Sean Payton has been so good with slot receivers that 2 + 2 = 4, and I'm just buying into Jeudy this year. And DJ Moore, I've talked about this ad nauseum. I'm a believer in what teams have done over the last 2 years with mobile quarterbacks, getting them the elite number one, and then they take off that next year with that number one. So I think that the receivers are too good to pass up to do 2 running backs. Joe Mixon's probably a no-brainer. And then a receiver, like one of those guys, probably makes the most sense.
You've talked a lot about Calvin Ridley. We've missed out on him the last couple of weeks. Any reason to jump on him right here? He won't be coming back.
He won't. I think really it comes down to my top 150. And I got to tell you that I've been spending a lot of time on running backs right now. So my my teeth aren't sharpened yet on wide receivers like it should be today. But just from like a preliminary thought process and what I've done so far, I actually have Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore in that order. So they're like right back to back to back in my rankings. But I am leaning Cooper right now. I just think that Deshaun Watson's going to take off this year.
Okay, we've picked DJ Moore, I think, in both other rounds. We've missed out on Jerry Jeudy in both. We've contemplated a lot of these guys down here, Pittman, Lockett, London. We talk about them every draft. What I'd like to do here, again, it's mock season. Let's roll the dice, if you will. I'd like to go with the top two players here that make the most sense for me as well. Joe Mixon's an automatic. Amari Cooper's an automatic. I'm hoping Jerry Jeudy and or Alexander Mattison come back on the turn. If not, we're going to play it as is. Is that fair? We'll go with these two guys at the top and hope one of those guys come back on the round.
It's your show, kid. Whatever you want.
Deal. All right. And let's go Amari Cooper. And then we will go with Joe Mixon.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Well, we lost Mattison like the first pick. He was gone right off the bat.
There he is right
Jared
there.
Jared Jeudy and Cam Akers just went.
They just went back to back. Look at this. Look at this run. Just kicking us right in the kneecaps. Boom, terrible. Boom, 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 boom. Look at this George Kittle, almost the sixth round, basically.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Okay, same guys. I think we're going to go Damian Pierce here. This makes sense. We talk about the same running backs. I don't want to make this redundant content because we've talked about a lot of the same players as we get to this round. We have not gone quarterback yet, so I just want to take a quick breeze over here. There's our boy, but we got a couple of them down here, right? We like Trevor Lawrence. I love Justin Herbert. We like Justin Fields. Okay, and then on the tight end position, we also haven't gone there. We got Pitts, and then we're looking at getting closer to the bottom of the barrel there. Running backs, wide receivers. There's nobody on the board that's just an automatic screamer for me necessarily other than quarterback, but there's three of them. So what are you feeling stylistically now with our roster of two running backs, two wide receivers? Feel really great about all four of these players, but now we need to start looking beyond.
I think this is the part where when you do a balanced like draft like this, you keep your options open. You can kind of go with, this is where I think, okay, is there a difference maker at each position that I can have? You know my feelings about Justin Fields, difference maker. However, the way the draft has gone so far, if you pass on Justin Fields here, there's a good shot that, I mean, listen, Herbert, Fields, Lawrence, Watson, Dak, all solid options for fantasy football. Maybe not Dak for me so much, but I think Fields is a difference maker for me. Now, if you scoot over to the tight end position, another onesie position that we've kind of waited on, for me, the one guy that I've really liked a lot is Waller. I just think that Brian Daboll, and listen, I know this is going to go way back, but when Brian Daboll, before we knew Brian Daboll as Brian Daboll with Buffalo, Brian Daboll had a very small, he was a whiz kid like a decade before that. He was with New England, and then he got a couple OC jobs with Miami, Kansas City, and also with the Cleveland Browns. Well, through my research, I found out a good old man named Ben Watson was his number one target one year, so he has no problem doing it. Yeah, so there is no problem there, and I think that he's the number one target on that offense, and I think Daniel Jones is going to target him relentlessly, and I think he's a solid difference maker there. So I would say Waller and Fields there works. When you look at running backs, though, there's my boys, my sweet angels there. James Conner, Damian Pierce, I just got excited about him when I was doing my research. I talked a little bit about David Montgomery on Friday's show. Everyone's going to talk about the 17 touchdowns and the 15 touchdowns or 14 touchdowns inside the five or on the goal line for Jamal Williams. People got to realize that was an absolute outlier of a season. Only over the last 10 seasons, only 3% of teams had over 30 carries inside the five in a season. Only one of them repeated the next year. And on average, they lose 12. In his career, David Montgomery averages a 35% conversion rate. Once you start factoring all in, he's due to lose about 6 to 7 touchdowns. That's still good. But 10 touchdowns versus 17 for a guy who's going to give secede most of the passing game works to another running back like Jamal Williams did last year, you're talking about RB30. No, thank you. I'm not interested. Nope. I don't see the upside. And then receivers, I don't know what you got here, but we talked a lot about Drake London. We're in on Drake London. McLaurin, I think for me, we talked about him a few times, but like I'm concerned about Sam Howell experience. I think Sam Howell, I'm going to do a lot of research on the Commanders. I've done it. I already started that process because I think Eric Bieniemy, a lot of people are going to think, oh, wow, look at what he's done with Kansas City. They don't have Patrick Mahomes. Okay? Patrick Mahomes is the reason why they were that good. Him and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy all had a piece of it. I get that. I think you got to go back further and look at Alex Smith. Early Alex Smith with Kansas City, around 3,300 yards passing. Very solid, 18 to 20 touchdowns. I think that's realistic for Sam Howell. But what does that mean for the receiving core? Especially when you have Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson, a lot of weapons in that offense. I think I'm actually scared off by him more than anybody else. But what's your thoughts on this part? Deontay Johnson, Christian Kirk, Mike Williams, what are you thinking here?
I'm kind of shocked that these are the names I'm looking at the top when I see these names underneath them.
I love
Mike Williams, Brandon Ayuk, Mike Evans. You know, I mean, I understand there's question marks and things, but just like per player, it's surprising to me. But yeah, I mean, for me, we need to go quarterback here. Again, my predictor tool tells me that those three top quarterbacks are not going to be here. So the question is, Bob, not necessarily who do we want from them, because I think we would agree. I mean, we'll split hairs with Fields and Herbert, but different styles of fantasy quarterbacks, whatever. But then the question is, if we don't go with those guys, are we happy with Dak, Watson, Tua, Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins, whatever, in the next round? They're not top-tier running backs or quarterbacks. They can give us good weeks, but they're not necessarily league winners. I mean, Deshaun Watson was. We'll see what happens with him moving forward. But, you know, again, I like Damian Pierce too. He's kind of standing out for me. Wide receiver, I think there's a number of names that we can get into. And then tight end position, I don't love the rest of these guys. Again, like really moving the needle. So for me, the jury's still out on Kyle Pitts. I think we've picked him one or two of these leagues, so I'd be okay with Waller there, although the prediction tool would tell us, you know, to go with Pitts there. But I personally think we should go quarterback, tight end, lock up the two of at the top positions. And then, because again, this predictor tool down here tells me, you know, it's not likely that these guys are going to be, you know, a lot of these guys could still be available down here on the way back. So we have a lot of picks, but for me, I'd rather not miss out on the top tier potential to separate, because we already do have quarterback and, or I'm sorry, running back and wide receiver pretty much handled.
It hurts that a lot of guys I like are here in each position. If you went any of the positions, I'd be okay with. Justin Fields, to me, difference maker. Darren Waller, difference maker. The difference is, though, those for me, I would be secure with the rest of the draft. I'd be done. If I waited another round and I took a tight end quarterback then, I'd probably take a late quarterback tight end too, just to see what goes on the first couple weeks. Because you start getting into, let's scroll down a little bit, maybe like the Daniel Jones, Tua. Like, Tua's one concussion from being done with his NFL career. I know Tua is going to be awesome, but I actually don't mind Tua and Daniel Jones for their upside. Plus, like, a little bit of their floors have been pretty, especially Daniel Jones with the rushing. But like, I would definitely want to pair them together. Like, I would say I want both, just see how it goes. Maybe because by then, by the way, too, probably nine of the 12 teams are going to have a quarterback. So a lot of teams aren't going to be taking second quarterbacks either. So you might be able to piggyback over the next few rounds a double quarterback. But here, love Justin Fields, love Darren Waller, in for both those guys.
I totally agree. Aiden has a quick question here in the chat. We did talk about him on the last episode, but quick thoughts on Mike Evans with who knows what at quarterback this season.
this is like a journey I'm excited to go down. So if it's Baker. Which, by the way, I DM'd Rick, one of the beat guys from Tampa Bay, and I was like, hey, who's winning, Kyle Trask or Baker? And he said Baker is leading a little bit right now. So knowing that, and knowing that they have Dave Canales, the new OC for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who is a QB coach and was with Seattle for a decade. Now, remember, the good news is that Dave Canales comes from a system where he has featured two receivers. As recently as DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, both had very productive seasons with Geno and also Russell Wilson. So the system has been conducive for supporting Godwin and also Mike Evans. So that gives me some excitement there. Baker, on the other hand, we don't know, but it's not unheard of that Baker could support 2,000-yard receivers. He did it pretty close with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham for a season. However, it hasn't been consistent. And the other problem is the Bucs' offensive line, woof. It's just going through turnover. They got rid of their left tackle. You know, they've lost so many pieces over the last few years. That's what happened to Tom Brady. The weapons were all still there. I mean, listen, they changed a little bit on the play-calling side a little bit because Bruce Arians left. But, It was the same offense. What happened was Tom Brady had no time to throw. So I think you could probably view Mike Evans probably similar to how he was last year. I think that there's not going to be a much of a drop off. I think they're going to make some corrections in the offensive line, but I'm not excited. I just think the problem is that we're fading him too much now. Like, he's just fallen so much that if you're getting him in round 6-7, he's going to be fine. Mike Evans is a stud, and Baker's competent enough. We've seen it so many times.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we did talk more about him on the last episode. Aiden, if you haven't been able to check that out, please make sure to scroll back here on the YouTube channel for the four spot and the eighth spot in our previous two mock drafts. We did go with Mike Evans in one of those picks there, and we went a little bit more in depth. It blows my mind, Bob, that he has not caught 100 passes in any single season. That's wild. I'm a bit concerned that he doesn't get double-digit touchdowns. It's going to make him fall off, of course. And we know his historic best ever literally streak of 1,000 yards per season. I think they force it to get him there, assuming he stays healthy, but how is he going to do it? It might be pretty ugly. So I agree we're going to pass. All right, let's get these picks in. Do we agree on Justin Fields here?
This is your call, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Herbert guy, but it makes sense. If I'm on the clock, I'll probably go Fields just because, again, the rushing upside is such a cheat code with this. Love Justin Herbert. Don't tell him I didn't pick him right here, but I am going to go Fields. And then for me, I'm going to go Kyle Pitts as well. I know we've been disappointed. I know we've been somewhat let down, whatever, but the potential here is, again, through the roof. I do think that the Falcons take a big step this year. And then we have Darren Waller too. So I went with Fields. I'm going to go actually Darren Waller, who I had mentioned earlier with the upside there. So we're going to do that. And we are good with our two picks. Tight end and quarterback, Bob, because of our short roster and sake of the podcast timing, we have a wide receiver position and a flex left. We do not have any quarterbacks, any tight ends left. I'm not going to read the draft board. We're down here in pick 7-12. Just a few of the names that went in this range from 7-4, Mike Evans did go early seventh round. Then we had Herbert and Lawrence go back to back. Treylon Burks, you and I have been excited about. We talked a bit about him in a previous episode. Pat Freiermuth, James Cook, Dalton Schultz, and George Pickens go before us. Again, we have back-to-back picks. These are our last two picks of this episode, running back, wide receiver only. We always see the Alvin Kamara conundrum, but we don't know what's going on with this particular, you know, suspension and all this stuff. So just for sake of not being realistic, I'm not going to pick him. Although, obviously, if he's whatever. I mean, again, we talked about this last time. Let's just kick him out for 6 weeks.
Let's pick him
up in the eighth round. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, maybe we will. How about the wide receiver, though, position? We've come down to the same exact crowd every single time. This is where we're at because of the way we pick. Again, we can go wide receiver. We can go wide receiver, running back. You know what? I'm going to make it easier because I think this would be an automatic for people. If Alvin Kamara isn't in this round and things get back to normal, whatever. He's in the fifth and he's gone. Anybody else down here in the kind of RB2 on their team, PPR guys, Jamal Williams, who you're banking on strictly touchdowns, you know, whatever. Is there anybody else down here that you would be excited to get some value on with potential?
Well, I want to talk quickly about the Commanders running back situation. A lot of excitement about Antonio Gibson kind of getting more passing game work. And I just kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier with Terry McLaurin. I think the problem is we automatically look at Eric Bieniemy. I did some deep dive on the running back situation. I actually looked at the 2013 to 2017 seasons and how many fantasy points running backs had with Alex Smith at quarterback, okay? So on average, they averaged 25 PPR points per game as a whole unit, okay? So all the running backs on the roster averaged 25 points per game. Why is that important? Well, Gibson and Robinson are going to split the work. So last year, they only played 7 full games together. Like, listen, Robinson got shot last year, okay? I don't want to hear any more inefficiency talk. You could do whatever you want, but you're an idiot. If you're going to talk about him, he got shot in the leg. Like right before the season. Oh, yeah, he was so inefficient last year. The dude came back from getting shot in the leg. Oh, it's so ridiculous. Anyway, so what I did, because I just am a normal human and realized the guy got shot, I looked at the last 7 games they played together because Gibson missed the last 2. Over that span, Robinson outtouched Gibson by a decent amount, but it was pretty close. 53% of the fantasy points went to Robinson, 42% went to Gibson, and about 6% went miscellaneous to other guys. Okay, if you just look at the 25 points per game, Robinson averages about 12.4. This would be his projection, about 12.4 PPR points per game. Gibson's down at 9.8. So in my opinion, I'm going Robinson this year. I think Robinson is going to be the Isaiah Pacheco. I think Pacheco's role in the Bieniemy offense is more predictable with the quarterback play than the Jerick McKinnon role, which relied on Patrick Mahomes throwing 650 times and also having some. And listen, you can make an argument the Commanders receiving core is better, not tight end included, of course, but the wide receivers are better at Washington than they are in Kansas City last year. So I just think that Gibson's role might be over. I mean, every team's pass catching running back right now is the hot thing, right? That's mini camps with the shorts on. Everyone's like, oh man, he's catching so many passes. So I do like Brian Robinson a lot here. Would not take him over Kamara. I just think at this point, so much upside. If you're that worried about it, just take Jamal Williams too. Take them both and just have that backfield locked up. I think Jordan Addison is probably the guy I want though. We talked a lot about let me just pull it up because I have it here, is the number two wide receiver for Kirk Cousins. So if you look at just the last few seasons, just his time in Minneapolis, they averaged 14.3 PPR points per game. Now, I know TJ Hockenson's there too, but what it really reminds me of is I think it was 2016 when DeSean Jackson, Jameson Crowder, and I can't remember the third receiver, and they also had Jordan Reed that year. But Kirk Cousins supported three top 36 receivers and the number one tight end in fantasy. Mm-hmm. So Kirk Cousins can do it. So I like Addison. I think of course, this is pre-mini camp stuff because he might not even be the number two receiver. We might find out KJ Osborne's going to start, and then we're like, okay, we'll forget it. But I think right now I'm cautiously optimistic on Addison, but I really do like Kamara here as well.
Yeah, first-round pick, and I've talked about this as well. I mean, it says right here, Adam Thielen earned a 17% target share last year. And, you know, he's not dust per se, but Thielen's over the hump for sure. If this kid gets a 20% target share, we know that double coverage, two and a half times coverage is going to be on Justin Jefferson, obviously. And we know that Cousins are going to force him the ball. But what we have seen over the last couple of years with Kirk Cousins is he will do that, but also in the red zone, which is frustrating if you're a Justin Jefferson fantasy manager, is that he's not hyper-targeted in the red zone like, say, a Davante Adams is, because he's triple covered and Kirk Cousins gets scared, so he goes to everybody else, which actually benefits a guy like potentially Jordan Addison. I'm with you. I mentioned this when he got drafted. I love this kid. Watched him a lot at USC as a Pac-12 guy, so I like this pick a lot. The only other guy I'd be interested in here that we have talked about also is Jahan Dotson. But again, what's going on with the Commanders quarterback room? And then we also talked about, JSN, Cortland Sutton, Kadarius Toney, Smith-Schuster, Bateman, Cooks, Davis Myers. We've talked about all these guys in too much length, to be honest with you, over the last couple episodes. So go back and check those if you'd like to. But I'm going to go with Jordan Addison to round up our draft pick. Bob will run out a couple more.
We're going running back heavy next draft because wide receiver heavy early next draft because I don't want to talk about these receivers anymore. Yeah. I want to just have those spots filled up.
So this is good. I want to mention this because I've been saying that basically you don't get a grade if you don't have the paid version. We have the paid version, so I get the grade. The 70% in late June, I could care less about. It is interesting to watch and see why did we get that grade. This grade is based strictly on the expert consensus suggestions. So when we see a guy like tight end, we see a guy like Kyle Pitts recommended by the pros on Fantasy Pros higher than Darren Waller percentage wise, like more experts pick Pitts than Waller, and we go against that in that particular pick and pick Waller, that's going to affect our grade. But we think that apples to apples, we want to go with Darren Waller. So that's why it is. Also, I'll tell you right now, Alvin Kamara kills this grade because he's not even playing right now. So there's a lot of different question marks here, but that's why you get the grade. So am I worried about a 70 out of 100 C minus? 100% no, especially because we don't have depth and we don't have all this other stuff. So I'm not worried about that at all, but that's what it looks like. We haven't been able to see it yet. Bob, I'm going to run through our team one more time and just give us your last thoughts. So again, at the quarterback position, we did have Justin Fields. Running backs are Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon. We love that, assuming they stay healthy and remain top five options there. Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, and Jordan Addison are our top three wide receivers. Again, we don't have a bench, so we have no idea what our depth might be. Maybe we get like a Brandon Cooks in the eighth round, and he's our flex week one or whatever, instead of Addison. We don't know that, so we won't talk about it. And then our tight end is Darren Waller. And, of course, we have the kind of hybrid Alvin Kamara. We know who we missed out on, and we can maybe capitalize on that next time. But how do you feel about the team overall? Is there any particular position you would have said, should have waited on Fields, or we should have gone earlier on tight end, or Alvin Kamara is silly to pick. We should have gone with somebody more consistent in that position or anything. How would you change the roster, if at all?
No, it's good. And this is the other thing too, is when we talk about runs, when you're at the end, right, you got to be a little savvy in the sense of, like, when we picked Fields and Waller, there wasn't a big time run, but the rounds before us, we saw the quarterbacks start going a little bit. We saw Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, and then Joe Burrow. And then when it got back to us, we're like, you know what? The next round, people are going to, that's when you know you're in that middle of that run. That's when you pull the trigger. So Sky did a good job, pulled the trigger on a quarterback there. Same thing goes with the tight end. George Kittle went right before us. Goddard went in those two rounds. There was, for us, there's a clear drop off there. But so when you're at the ends, beware of where the runs start. And if you see a guy, and listen, just because there's a run doesn't mean you have to make a pick, right? If you don't feel that Fields and Herbert are a tier above, you know, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, et cetera, then don't make the pick. Wait another round. I'm only saying if you see the run happen and a guy in a tier above the rest of the guys is there, pull the trigger. If he's not, then you just wait, take more running backs, wide receivers.
I love it. That is going to wrap up the top, you know, the three original mock drafts that we have. We're going to be doing mock draft Mondays every Monday for the rest of summer. Make sure you're tuning in. But we've done the 4 slot, the 8 slot, and the 12 slot to give you an idea of the top four, the middle rounds, and, of course, on the turn. We're going to be back next week with another one. We're going to start doing some super flexes. We're going to start doing some alternate roster formations. Make sure to comment below. And Aiden and Jamie, we appreciate you both being heavy in the comment section here, chatting with each other and us as well. Feel free, everybody, to jump in that comment section live as we're getting going here. And I want to make sure that you all are kind of encouraging the way that we're doing these mock drafts, because we're going to be going through the rest of the summer. Bob and I do this all day long. We've done every style of mock draft, whatever. We want your recommendations. Okay. If you're thinking like, hey, I want to see a, you know, two running back, two wide receiver, I don't know, tight end premium, something, whatever, suggest that if that's a particular style for you, because I guarantee you, you're not the only one looking for those. Otherwise, we'll do what we feel is best. But let's go ahead and wrap it up here. Jamie, love you too. Appreciate the support. Bob, I know we have some exciting announcements building a little bit here for everybody looking forward to Razz Bowl 2023. Can you give us just kind of an update and what we're looking at on that, and then sign us out here and let everybody know where they can find everything Razz Bowl?
Yeah, so every single year, if you're new to Razz Bowl, we do a tournament where a lot of people in the industry from CBS, et cetera, are on there as well. You get to compete against some of the, you know, main level guys, guys who listen to our podcast on the Razz Bowl. All you got to do is go to Twitter, type in Razz Bowl, and you'll find it. You also can find it on our website at razzball.com. Click on the NFL tab. There's a Razz Bowl article. All you got to do is sign up and we'll get you into the tournament. Really exciting stuff there. It's a lot of fun. You get to compete against me and Sky, the whole entire Razz Bowl team, and some really, really good experts. Also, make sure you're following us across the board at Razz Bowl Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, make sure you're over to razzball.com. We got articles going all offseason long. Check out our new show, football. We got great new shows on Razz Bowl. So make sure you subscribe to the Razz Bowl Fantasy YouTube channel, because not only is it just me and Sky, but it's a bunch of us, and we're having a great time. But go check it out. Thank you for listening and joining. We love you.
You can find Bobby LaMarco on Twitter at Bobby LaMarco, LaMarco. You can find me as well, Sky Guasco, SKYGUAS, as in San Francisco Super Bowl champions, CO. We'll catch you next Monday, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And once again, we are your hosts here on the Razz Bowl Fantasy Football Show. Check out the podcast as well. Download and subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating. We will catch it next time. We will catch you. We are out of here.